This podcast is intended to support UK healthcare professionals with education. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment, and patients are encouraged to consult healthcare providers, including nurses, for any medical questions or concerns.
Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional, where healthcare professionals and experts by experience discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. I'm Hannah Patterson. I've worked in specialist care and I'm currently the Ostomy Care Associate Education Manager at Coloplast. This time we are looking at leadership mastery for specialist nurses. I'm joined by the gruesome twosome, as I'm now going to rename them. Paul and Emma are back. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
How you doing?
What do you think of the new nickname?
The gruesome twosome. I like it. I'll go with that.
I like us as a triple threat, though. Maybe the three musketeers.
Oh, the three musketeers. This could be like, as we're now into season 12, what do you think about our new little, like the three amigos or something like that? We could have something like that going on. I might have to rebrand us. I'll rebrand us for season 12. On a slightly different note, Paul, can you believe we are now on season 12 of the podcast?
No. Not at all. I go back and I've been thinking about it over the last few weeks. I think back to when it was me, Karen and Terry who initially started before you did a fantastic job of taking over the podcast. And for those that haven't listened to the back catalogue, you know, there are some fantastic ones back there, but 12 seasons, I never thought we'd reach 12 seasons. And I know that they're going from strength to strength to strength. And I know more and more people are logging on to them and listening to them. So thank you. I want to say thank you to you. Thank you to everybody who listens, because it has been 12, you know, as I say, this is the 12th series. And I think that it's fantastic. You know, so many nurses have given us so many amazing comments and such amazing feedback. And I just want to say thank you to everybody for keeping us going, for allowing us to go into our 12th season of these podcasts. So yeah, so thank you to you. Thank you to Charles. He's the unsung hero who's the producer behind these podcasts. So
he's the man behind the scenes.
I don't know whether he's ever been bigged up on a podcast, but Charles is the one that tries to keep us all on track and
make it sound good.
Sound good. So a big up to Charles from Vibrant Sounds, who, as I said, the producer for the podcasts, who has kept us going for and into our 12th season. So and so thank you to him, and thank you to everybody as well.
I know, Paul, we talk a lot about your passions and your particular favorites, but I know that this subject is quite literally your speciality, isn't it, Emma? Leadership mastery.
Well, considering I have a master's in it, yes.
Yeah. So I'd almost feel like kind of just going, the floor is yours on this one. Because I think leadership, it can be a bit of a taboo word. I think sometimes people can be a little bit, oh, leadership, and people sometimes have negative connotations of it. And I suppose, why is leadership so important within specialist practice? Emma?
So I think the first thing we have to actually discuss is what is leadership, because I think it's really, really difficult to define. And I've got to say, I went into when I started doing my master's, that actually you don't have to have a team to be a leader. And there's so many different sort of parts of leadership that you don't realise. It's having the attributes, the skills, the styles of leadership. I could do a podcast just on the styles. but then you look at the things that are part of leadership, like your project management, your coaching, various other sort of, you know, other things like sort of defining that sort of what is leadership. So that starting point is, what is it? And it's really difficult to define. When you look at specialist nursing and why leadership is so important in specialist practice, is because you need all of the different aspects of leadership to be able to do your job and your role. And you don't necessarily need to have a team to lead, but you might want a service to lead, for example, and you might want to change things. So how do you project manage that? How do you engage your stakeholders? How do you look at the style of leadership you use? Because different styles suit different people. You have to use a different type of style when you're maybe working with, your nurses on the ground, so to speak, to where, you know, strategically thinking you're talking to your managers or your ICBs, for example. So, yeah, there's so many reasons why leadership is important on so many different levels. And the thing with it is we need to be building it from the start, from early on in nursing, because leadership happens at all levels. You look at the NMC, leadership is one of our, is part of our code. And I think as well, when you are looking at changing services, you need to know who to speak to, stakeholder management, stakeholder engagement. If you want to change a service, you need to have that awareness of project management. And then coaching, because you're coaching people around you. How does coaching actually help leadership? And I think it's really important, coaching, especially when you get to your sort of band six, band sevens, because it really makes you, that nurse, realise what they want to do and how they want to go forward in their profession.
What I'm already really, it's so just not that simple. And I suppose my next question is for you. What made that be your real interest? What made you think that was where you wanted to head with your master's? What was it that drove you that direction?
I think it's because I'd been doing my role for 15 years and I thought, where do I go? What do I want to do? And at the point I thought, do you know what? I want to set up this service. I want to be able to offer this sort of practice to the patients in our area, which was cystoscopies and, you know, Botox. And I wanted to be able to sort of go further within my role. And quite quickly when I started the master's was actually, maybe I want to do something different. And I realized actually that succession planning in nursing and succession planning in healthcare isn't done very well, especially when urology wards get dissolved into a surgical ward and you lose your generalists, you know, general sort of specialist nurses on the wards. And there's no development there. I think it's been seen now in the NHS that leadership is really important. And I saw before I left my trust that they're doing different levels of leadership development. So they will have an interim, they'll have a beginners, they'll have an intermediate, they'll have an expert. But, you know, there's lots of other leadership courses out there.
And I'm going to almost pull back to one of the very first things that you said, that leadership doesn't necessarily mean that you need a team, because this is where it actually makes me think of you, Paul, because I remember at one point in your career, you were the sole stoma nurse of a department, weren't you? So you were the leader, but you didn't have a team. So what are your thoughts on that, that what Emma said in that respect, that you don't need a team to be a leader?
100% agree. Absolutely 100% agree. And it is, and it can be very, very challenging, but it's almost when, you know, as a sole worker, as an individual, it's, and as a specialist nurse, I don't think you can say that you've never got a team. Because as a specialist nurse, part of our role, and if anybody, doesn't matter what speciality they work in specialist nursing, is supporting, educating, and ensuring best practice to the entire hospital on your speciality, whether it's continence care, whether it's stoma care, diabetes, tissue viability. You have to be a leader. You have to lead by example. You have to strive for best practice. You have to strive for appropriate communication. You have to be able to flex your leadership style to communicate with different types of nurses, different levels of nurses, different nursing attitudes. And it is 100% right. You know, it's that different, you know, you don't need a line reporting team to be a leader. As a nurse, we should all be leaders. And I think that for me is the key aspect. It's that thing of we do lead. We lead by example. And I know that term is passed around an awful lot, but, and I've said it on multiple podcasts in the past, we are incredibly privileged to be specialist nurses. And it's not about, I got a job that's Monday to Friday for those people that work a seven day service. I'm not, you know, I said, I'm not ousting you guys, but it's not because specialist nursing is 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. No, we are incredibly privileged in what we do. And leadership is an integral part of that. And I'm going to, instead, I'm sure we're going to, this is going to come up and I'm almost preempting it, but it's that difference between management and leadership. Anybody can manage, you know, management. You can almost bring somebody off the streets and just get them to do the management roles and responsibility. But it is a very, very different person who can be a leader, and almost you don't need to be the person in charge to be the leader. Anybody Precisely. Can be that leader.
Yeah. So how can we prepare nurses for leadership other than doing your wonderful masters, Emma?
Well, no, I think leadership starts, as I said, leadership starts at all levels. And I think simple, easy courses nurses can go on early on in their career, I think, is really important. There's so many different leadership programs out there. Some are free. They do obviously through via the NHS now. There's the NHS Leadership Academy that people can, if they're interested in. It's also having a sort of an idea and a vision of where you want to go in your role and where you might best need it. But yeah, I think it's starting it early and asking for it. Don't be scared to ask for leadership development. I think people will jump, you know, managers will jump at the chance to put you on courses, but we know how difficult it is for getting study leave at the moment. And I think as well think outside the box, you know, shadow people, shadow other specialist nurses, shadow other healthcare professionals, because that is also really good to sort of find out where you want to go and then be able to develop that leadership.
Collar Plus Professional offers a lot of educational material for specialist nurses and healthcare professionals. Visit collarplusprofessional.co.uk to find out more. I loved what you said, Paul, that management and leadership are very different things. So what are the different qualities and maybe attributes that are needed between the two? Because management is a different skin type. So splitting the two, what are the different attributes and skills that are maybe needed?
Managing is managing a team. If you're managing a team, you're looking at how things are run. Whereas leadership, you are looking at change.
For me, it's almost going back to one of our previous webinars where we were talking about patient-centered care. And I can remember back in the day being on a general surgical ward. I could manage my group of 6 to 8 patients with my eyes closed. You know, I was that experienced at being able to manage 6, 8, 10 incredibly complex patients, and I could manage their care needs. And it wasn't, you know, as I say, it was something that we did because that is what I was trained to do. If people can remember the patient-centered care, you know, podcast that we spoke about different communication styles. We spoke about, you know, ensuring that we took the patient's wants, needs, personalized care into account. And I think for me, that's quite a good representation of management and leadership. When I was a generalist nurse, I would manage a group of patients because I said that was just what we need. You know, that's what happened. You had bed pressures, you had length, you know, people monitoring length of stay, you had all of these sorts of things. You had drugs around, breakfast, lunches, teas, theaters, dressings, you know, you had all these things. And that was all about time management. I managed those individuals. And it was what it was. That's what I had to do. And I think, but as I went into specialist practice, I almost became I felt like my approach had to change to become a leader to those patients, encouraging, coaching, all of those key skills that Emma's already met, that Emma mentioned at the start. That's almost the difference between management and, for me, putting management and leadership into a nursing kind of picture is on the wards, I managed a group of patients. I was a manager to them. In specialist practice, it's much more of a leadership role. It's that encouragement, engaging, communication, supporting, coaching, all of those soft skills, which I don't like calling them soft skills because they're so hard to do a lot of the time. But yeah, that's how I kind of interpret, and I would kind of separate those two, the management and the leadership skills.
You're right. On the leadership side, we are inspiring and guiding, aren't we? We want to work towards a goal. We want to have that change. And as leaders, we want to create those goals and sort of, you know, mobilize people on board with us really to meet them. Whereas managers are more sort of executing functions and organizing, planning specific tasks.
I think it's so important to realize that almost like you say, you can't be a manager and a leader at the same time in some ways. Okay. That's what I'm kind of learning from this. You've got, because it's such different skills. You can't really lead the team from a manager's perspective for a patient. I know what I'm trying to say, but it's not coming out very well. But it's two such different things that you can potentially do both, but you've got to put on two very different hats to be both. And what a tricky task that is to potentially juggle the two. So, Emma, this is where I'm going to ask you again. Now, we say that our ambassadors are our experts by experience. Emma, you are our expert by experience when it comes to leadership.
So, yeah, well, leadership was, you know, yes, I did it, but leadership actually is what brought me here because I realised that succession planning was so important within the NHS, especially in specialist practice. And I think we've got to nurture our nurses that can come on that journey with us. You know, when I started specialist practice, I saw a urology nurse practitioner, and within a week I said, that's the job I'm going to do. So that she inspired me. She was a leader. There was no succession planning there for me. I learned my leadership on the job. I remember when doing my first assignment about leadership concepts, I had to think back about a time where I'd shown leadership. And I was like, well, okay. I had to think back and I was thinking, okay, I set up a service. I set up a clinic. I did this, I did that. And actually going through all of the various points, thinking, okay, well, that was stakeholder management. That was stakeholder engagement. I used an authoritative style there. I used a democratic style there. And it was almost in like a hindsight thinking how I'd grown as a leader within the specialist role, because that's what we have to do in the role. I don't think people realize actually they are leaders within themselves. They probably just don't know they're doing it.
Yeah, it's like when we have to go back to revalidation, things like that, and you're like, well, what have I done? And then actually when nurses look back through what they've done over the last 2 years, you've done so much more than what you realise you have done. And from what you can say there, I mean, you'd already been a leader without even almost semi-realising it.
I had so much imposter syndrome when I was on that course because I was surrounded by senior nurses. I was governance managers, all of these higher grade professionals, I don't lead a team. I don't manage a team, but it very came quickly, you know, apparent that you know leadership is so much more and involves so much more. And it's having that, and it's inspiring others.
And I love that, the inspiring others. It's like, it's the next generation of nurses coming through, as you said, isn't it? It's that succession planning, which is something that is so tricky within the NHS, because we know they don't tend to replace somebody till they're actually out the door. And it's so hard to get that planning and that that succession in place. So is there any advice that you would give out there, either of you here, for that succession planning? Because it is so hard.
It is. It is really difficult. I think you've got to remember from our experience and in specialist practice, how many years practice we have under our belt before we go into that specialist area. It's talent spotting, isn't it? It's that talent selection. And I think the NHS can do a lot on that side of it. You know, their culture in their leadership to recognise people on their pathways. So if you find a band five nurse that becomes that patient facilitator with the stoma nurse or with the continence team, you can see that they've got a passion, and it's that talent acquisition. So I think it really comes from above as well.
Yeah, really good point. How about you, Paul? Anything more from you on that?
It's actually quite apt, really, that it's almost 360 to the very, very start of this podcast, where we spoke about we're on season 12 now. And it takes me back to an episode, I swear it was season one. And I was talking to the lovely Maddie White, ex-lead at the QE, ex-chair of the ASCN. And we were talking about the journey of a stoma nurse from I want to be a stoma nurse to I'm a new stoma nurse to I'm an experienced manager leader to I need to be succession planning for my replacement. Because I was fortunate enough that, you know, when I spoke to Maddie at that time, she could really talk about all of those because she was succession planning at the time of that podcast. And she reflected back on her own journey. And I can't remember the exact numbers, but she was kind of second in command for an awful long time. We're talking well into the teen years. And she said that she was champing at the bit to get the clinical lead post. And when she got it, it was only then that she realized that those years and years of succession planning that her predecessor had been doing without her actually even knowing about it, that she was being succession planned, was fantastic. And she said it didn't take her long to think to herself, I could have done with another 10 years of being succession planned because of the complexity. You know, we're talking the QE, we're talking the Centre of Excellence, we're talking about, you know, one of the biggest trauma centres in the UK. You know, we are talking a massive, massive department. And I think it's quite apt that we're talking about that. So if you haven't, people, you know, everybody listening now, if you haven't gone back to all the way back to season one, if you're new to the podcast, have a listen to the Maddie White one. On succession planning and the journey of a stoma nurse. I can't irritate it. I can't, whatever that word is, enough.
Reiterate it.
Reiterate. That's the word, enough. And it is about succession planning. And I think that is so vitally important. Like Emma said, it's spotting that diamond in the rough and saying, they are the one. You know, you can
see
them.
I want you.
I want you. And I think that's it. And do you need to be a manager to do that? No. And I think a leader will see leadership qualities in others. They are a beacon. It does, as like I said at the start as well, it doesn't matter what band, what level they are. You will see a leader shining like that diamond, and it is just so obvious when you see them. Nurture them, support them, guide them, be a leader to them, because they are the future of the NHS.
What a lovely little note to finish on about that inspiration for the next generation along. I think that's a really nice note to finish on. What I'm not saying is don't go and pinch all the nurses off the wards. I'm not encouraging that.
Just pick one.
Just pick one.
We're all allowed to pinch one. Yeah.
Pick one. And thank you so much, guys, for joining me. And thank you to everybody listening. And we will see you next time. Thank you for listening. To see more of the wide variety of education we offer,
please visit collarplusprofessional.co.uk. See you next time.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is a Vibrant Sound Media production for Collarplus Professional.